God. You can have a seat. Wonderful to see everybody in here today.
We're going to stand up here with you.
Okay, thank you. He's preaching today. But it's good to see you here. I'm glad that God's called you here. Glad Dustin did an introduction to you because I've met a lot of you. I've been here. I mean, I've been to Cornerstone since 2015, and so I'm very familiar with it. Just have been working here since 2022, but you don't get to see a lot of me. I work with the students, and I work primarily, as I oversee the family ministries, I primarily work directly with the middle school and high school students, and so thank you for sharing them today. I have a trusted team who's taking care of them today, and they probably are like, oh, good golly, I'm glad Mr. Cody's not here with us here, because his bald head is way too shiny, and we get blinded by it, so you have to suffer from these lights. So anyways, but I'm glad to be here today. I feel like the Holy Spirit has inspired a word to be given to you. My prayer is nothing comes off of my lips that are reflective of me and my own understanding, but only from the Holy Spirit and God's scriptures. So I want the Holy Spirit to direct and communicate today because we have an important topic that we're going to talk about. But first, let's go to the Lord in prayer because we want to seek Him first. Father, we thank You so much for being present. Thank You for never changing. Thank You for always following us, holding us accountable, God, and always seeking and pursuing us. And most importantly, God, thank You for Your forgiveness. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus. Father, I just pray today, God, that anyone in here that's dealing with something heavy on them, God, that they can lift that to You. They will have some type of encounter with You that they can experience so they can give and experience Your forgiveness, but also maybe even forgive others. So, Father, we just pray for that heaviness, that burden throughout the service to be lifted from them and they experience Your goodness. Father, and we as the church, we build on that, Lord. We build on that foundation. We love You and we praise You and we ask that these words that come off our lips and the things that come into our minds, they be glorifying You and honoring of You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so I need you to help me out because there's some lights in my face and it's hard to see, kind of. But I need you to help me out. So you can stay seated, but I'm going to ask a question and I need you to participate in this. If you have had any type of debt, I want you to raise your hand. Okay. Wow. Holy moly. There's a lot of hands. Okay. All right. You can put them down. Thank you for that. Whoa. So thank you for that. What I want to say is there's a lot of different types of debt. So there's things like a mortgage. There's things, credit cards. There's student loans. There's a car payment. And there's lots of different types of debt. There's debt that your cousin gave you some money at the arcade, and you just hope that your cousin doesn't remember they gave you $10 because they're probably keeping up with the interest on that. I hope that never happens to you. But what I will say is we are living in a world that we easily come into debt. And I don't have a message today that's going to cancel your financial debt. I'm sorry. I hope you don't get up and leave and say, oh, doggone it, that's what I was hoping for. I don't have that. There's much more experienced people that can help you with that. Just not me. I don't have any type of prosperity gospel sermon planned, nor would I ever. But what I do have is I believe I have the key. In fact, I know it because I have what it says in Scripture, the key to balancing your account. And what I love about this is this key has to do nothing with money, but it has to do with hurt debt, right? This debt that you're probably carrying around, this hurt debt that as we carry it around, some of your bags are really, really heavy. Right? You're carrying this from point A to point B, and it's hard just to move. Maybe you're weighted down, you can't go anywhere. And there's some type of hurt that's holding you back. Maybe this goes back years, maybe it even goes back decades. I don't know, but we all have experienced hurt. We all carry this with us, or maybe you have released this. And what I hope is that you can release this hurt debt to the one who can take on through His forgiveness. And so we'll talk today, we'll build up a whole plan, but what I want to do first is I want to talk about this hurt debt. I have a little bit of an illustration because this comes in forms of pain and frustration and even trauma. And if you have any type of trauma, yeah, get the help that you need. I want you to do that. But also, we need to understand that true healing only comes from our Father in heaven. So what I want to say is this. I have something under here that you're going to be able to identify with. Now, Pastor Dustin, he pulled up the microwave, the staff microwave last time. I'm not stealing anything from the staff kitchen, so they can be relieved. It's nothing like that. It's not the sink or anything like that. But what I have here is something you might relate to. It's not all-encompassing, right? But maybe there's some things you can relate to. So here's the big reveal. One, two, three, boom. All right. So here on some blocks, some different types of hurt debt, right? Again, it's not all encompassing because there's some other things you might experience on here. But on this hurt debt, you see things from that was neglect or an assault or you were lied about yourself or there was an affair. There's lots of different things. And I'm not trying to dig these things up to cause any more harm. I'm not trying to do these things to make you reflect and say, oh gosh, I have more pain. But what I am trying to do is as we talk about this, is to talk about why this hurt debt weighs us down, right? It could be a custody battle. It could be a spouse or you're in a relationship that someone, they were unfaithful or they were abusive and you just can't seem to heal from that. Or maybe it's like a coworker. Maybe it's a boss that just kind of is that button pusher. And so they know how to get under your skin. They know how to kind of set you off. Know what kind of gets you ticked off. And so that causes you frustration. So it can be that. It could be something like a big painful word, and that is assault in some way. Maybe you experienced that. Maybe a family member has experienced it. Or maybe, which seems to be a little bit more painful at times, is maybe even a child. A child experiencing that. That's some heavy, heavy, heavy hurt debt. Right? So, for example, so we have our bag here, right? And so maybe you... The things that I pick on here, maybe they apply to you, maybe they don't, right? I don't want anything to happen to anyone, but we live in a world of pain, a world that people have the ability to make choices. So some of these choices might lead to a custody battle. Let's just pull this one up. So a custody battle, we'll put this into our bag, and it gets a little heavy, right? So we would have to pull this around with us. But what led to that custody battle? Well, it was a divorce. So we have a divorce. And we're going to add that to our bag, and that gets a little bit heavier. But what led to that? Well, an affair. An affair happened. So that gets heavier. Trying to get that in the bag. And so it goes in here, and it keeps weighing it down. And what happened? It was that you were deceived. You were deceived. Again, I'm not trying to bring anything up. What I'm trying to do is make an illustration that says this. As we have these painful things, and even though this bag might get heavier and heavier, even heavier than this, and it might be more things that aren't up here, this bag is heavy, right? These things that we carry with us are heavy. And so I couldn't go to point A to point B very quickly, right? And I'm actually pretty distracted because I don't want it to hit my shins. I don't want it to do that. It'll hurt me. So this past hurt that I have, if it comes back and I'm not focused on it, it might hurt me. It might hurt me again. So I'm going to go ahead and strap this back on here because I'm not going to carry this around. So strap this back up here, and we'll just leave this here. So this debt, it builds up over time, and no matter how hard you've tried to eliminate this debt that you carry with you, it just seems like you can't get rid of it. No matter how hard you try, maybe you have used substances, maybe you've gone from relationship to relationship, maybe there's some revenge, maybe there's some hatred, and maybe there's just some type of worldly, humanly response that you have that you just impulsively have used as a reaction to try to overcome this yourself. And so no matter how hard you try, though, maybe you feel like you're holding back the interest temporarily, but this gets heavier and heavier, and it builds over time, and it gets larger. This debt right here, though, it can be forgiven easily, right? Maybe not by you, but the one that can take it. So in our On Earth as It Is in Heaven series, we have seen, we talked about the foundations and correct moral teachings that only come from the standards of Jesus. His teachings, whether you're a believer or not, the standards come from Jesus. It comes from Christianity. And our series today finishes as we talk about this topic, forgiveness. And forgiveness is a foundation for life. So we talked about Jesus. Pastor Dustin has talked about Jesus, the Lord's Prayer. So the disciples go to Jesus and they're like, hey, can you give us a prayer? How are we supposed to pray? How are we supposed to go to God? This is kind of new to them. And so they say, what are we supposed to do? And so they're all ears for him. And Jesus says, I got it right here. Here's your structure. This is how you handle this. Because Jesus in his divine ability, he is God, and so God is a God of order. And so he goes and he has his order. He says this in Matthew 6. He says, this then is how you should pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And he finishes and says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So if you stop there, you'll encounter something that has been recited, maybe at a sports game, maybe at a prayer vigil, maybe at a Bible study, maybe you've responded with this prayer as a family. And so this is something that you're pretty familiar with if you've ever been in church, right? But this is a beautiful way Jesus says this is how you should pray. But if we stop there, we won't understand the full meaning of forgiveness. We won't understand what God is talking to us about forgiveness. But I want to precaution you because we're going to read two more verses that are at the end, and these two verses can become a little bit confusing. You can say, wait a minute, I've read here and I read there, and this doesn't make any sense. The Bible is orchestrated very carefully, and so it all comes together. But we're going to read verses 14 and 15, and we're going to talk about this. We're going to build up to a point, and I hope that these three points that we talk about today, they will give you the ability, at least the inspiration, to release these debts, these hurt debts, to our forgiving Father. So we're going to go to verses 14 and 15 that go right after that prayer, and Jesus says this: if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Whew. So if we carelessly read this, we have this thought that God's not going to forgive us. Like, if there's one person we haven't forgiven, right? There's one time that we haven't said, okay, I forgive you. I will have the opportunity to live eternally with my Father. That's the thing that the enemy wants you to think of, right? That it's on your own ability to carry this around and to eliminate this yourself. But you can't do that. You can't do that. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the Bible a little bit deeper, right? So the Bible is, again, carefully orchestrated. I tell my students all the time, I'm like, from the beginning of Genesis all the way to Revelation, everything points inward to Jesus. There's nothing in it that points anywhere else, but everything. It's a storyline of Jesus, what has happened, what is going to happen. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to look at Ephesians 2. And again, I get that scripture sometimes can become challenging, but I want to encourage you to look at this, and let's look at Ephesians 2 to see what Apostle Paul writes about forgiveness. Okay, so he writes in Ephesians 2, 8, which is a very popular verse. Maybe some of you have memorized it. He says in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Man, because Paul's words basically say this. He's like, there is jack diddly squat, nothing that you can do to earn your salvation. There's nothing you can do, man. It's only through the grace, through the atoning blood of Jesus, that we can be saved. And nobody can stand before God and say, okay, God, I've forgiven all these people that have hurt me. Have I earned myself into communion with you? Have I done enough? And what Paul is saying is, no, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do except this. It's accepting that Jesus lived a perfect life and he took that debt on himself. And so that, if you're thinking worldly thoughts or if you're thinking things from the enemy, you're going to think that first scripture about how God's not going to forgive us. You're going to think that, okay, these don't make sense. What it means is this: Jesus is not talking about the status of your salvation. No, Jesus is talking about your day-to-day walk and your fellowship with your heavenly Father. And we ask forgiveness, listen to this, we ask forgiveness daily, not because we lost our salvation. We ask forgiveness daily because we want to water and we want to nourish in our fellowship and have the ability to discern between what the Holy Spirit is saying and what the world is saying. And so if we're too busy picking this up, we won't be able to discern very easily what God is telling us. That is quite difficult. I know you might say, like, Cody, you don't understand. You don't understand because I've been carrying around this hurt debt for so long, right? It's a cycle. Happens over and over again. And I can't seem to stop this. You don't understand. This person has hurt me over and over again. Well, the Bible has the answer for that, right? For this cycle. The Bible says in Matthew 18, from one of Jesus' most zealous and passionate disciples, Peter, he asked a question to Jesus on the amount of times to forgive. So I'm going to give you that amount so you can take this home with you on how many times to forgive. So Matthew 18, Peter says this. He says, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother and sister who sins against me? He says, up to seven times. And Jesus answered, he said, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. So what's cool about this is, like, the Bible, it has a reason for numbers, like the number seven, and it has 40, like about completion and our trials. Like, the Bible has numbers in it for a reason. And so those numbers have meaning, right? But does the 77 have meaning? Jesus, what does this mean? All right, so let's go back to when Jesus was here on earth. So the Jewish leaders at the time, what they would do is they would take something out of Amos, and they would say, this is what God's word says. If you follow God's law from Moses, it says this: you need to forgive somebody three times. That's it. Three times. And if they don't repent for what they've done to you, they just assume that it's not going to be forgiven. Or excuse me, they'll assume that they'll never ask for forgiveness. They'll assume repentance never would happen. And so Peter comes to Jesus, knowing good and well that Jesus' standard is that much higher, that he asked for more. He's like, Jesus, seven times? That's more than double the amount. So he knows Jesus' standard of forgiveness is much higher. And so Jesus says that astonishing answer. He says 70 times seven, or in the Greek, 70 and 7 as in 77. So whether it's 490, if you want to do math, right? I had to use a calculator, no lie. But 490 to 77, whatever that is, whatever your interpretation is of whichever one you think, this number is astonishing, because I'm not going to go up to someone and say, hey, so this is my 489th time, and God told me, I got one more chance. You got one more chance. And that's it. And I'm going to go ahead and warn you that no more. No more, that's it. Like, I can't go to somebody and say that. But if we go back to Matthew 6, God commands us to forgive others so we can restore and to nurture our relationship with him, because it's this. Jesus is given this example because there is no limit to forgiveness. No limit. It's infinite. I know what you're thinking. You're like, wait a minute. This is heavy. Like, wait, this stuff just keeps piling up, and I'm not going to let this person take advantage of me or this circumstance throw me out of order. I'm not going to allow that. Well, Peter came to Jesus for that, and I get it. Like, you probably are thinking, Cody, you don't know what this person did to me. And I would say you're correct in the eyes of the world, and I would say your anger and bitterness are justified. But Peter's response, he knew Jesus had a higher standard. And so the world says revenge is necessary. The world says that something needs to be atoned for. A reparation needs to be given in order for this wrongdoing to be forgiven. But Jesus didn't die for 490 or 77 of our sins. He died for all of them. And we can look at Jesus' forgiveness as this, and this is our first point, is forgiving others is not a condition of our salvation. Forgiveness, it is the expected response for those who have been saved. Let me say that one more time. Forgiving others is not a condition of our salvation. It is the expected response for those who have been saved. So Jesus doesn't say, take revenge for your wrongdoing. I imagine it this way. I see all the time, golly, man, I see on social media people posting kind of their hurt laundry. And so they'll post something very long, and they vent on it, or maybe it's some type of post, a screenshot of a conversation or a post that they had. And so they put that on there, and they're looking for their social media support group, and they're like, I want to feel better, and I'm going to get this person back, or I'm going to handle this situation myself. But what I would say in that, because I'm guilty of it, I've done it before in the past. I really have. Like, I'm going to be transparent, and so I have to reflect on myself, and I have to say this: would God be most magnified in my response? How would he be most magnified? How could I put God at such a greater level where people can see how great he is? When we forgive, we're not abandoning justice. No, what we're doing is we are acknowledging that the final judgment lies in the hands of God, not in our own understanding. That happens. Not in our own understanding. So when we forgive, we have this example of Jesus. So Jesus is dying on the cross. His nails and his hands are nailed through, and he's bleeding out. And so he's being mocked, and he's being taunted at, and they give him a crown of thorns. And they're like, ha-ha, Christ is king. Yeah, king of the Jews. Yeah, get yourself down there. Why don't you? And so his clothes are being gambled over, and they're casting lots and saying, this is mine. And so he's up there, and he's watching this happen. And what does he say? He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. I don't know about you, but if I was up on the cross and I was pinned there, what I would probably do in my flesh is I would probably be on the cross and I would say, you need to repent. Do you know who I am? Do you know what you're doing? I didn't do anything. Look what you're doing. But yet Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. These Roman soldiers, they were most likely, yes, performing their tasks and their duties. They just assumed Jesus was guilty. They just assumed that Jesus was being condemned because of some type of sin, some type of wrongdoing, right? They believed in a polytheistic world, like this pagan religion of multiple gods. And so they weren't thinking of Jesus as who he says he is. They probably heard some things. But we go back to Jesus' response, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. So he's held as an innocent prisoner. So he's held on the cross as an innocent prisoner by the Romans and many of the Jewish leaders. Yet he was, as he was fastened to that tree to bleed, he says, forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they do. Because his forgiveness, his words of forgiveness actually established how free he was. He was free from bitterness. He was free from rage. He was free from resentment. He was showing how free he was. Man. So I'm going to kind of touch home for a second for you because this is kind of a sensitive thing. But just the reality is the Bible doesn't, the Bible doesn't have a filter. And while we should have filters, I do want to bring up a subject that kind of is a little bit touchy for some of us, but we have to kind of reflect on it correctly. So we all, this kind of touches home because we all have experienced this in some way, shape, or form, or at least know about it, or we know people that were involved, or we've heard it on the news, but years ago, maybe a decade or more ago, a shooting happened. We've heard about it in Charleston at Mother Emanuel Church, and there was a 21-year-old white supremacist who goes into that church, who wants to cause division, who has hatred in his heart. The enemy has grasped some things in here that wanted to cause division. And so he goes into this church. He was invited by these black church members. And so at the end of their Bible study, you know the story. He opens up and he shoots. And he kills 9 of the church members. And the shooter said he wanted to start a civil war because the enemy infiltrated his mind with hate and rage. But when all this goes down with the trial and everything, and it was clear that he was guilty, and there was footage, and he admitted to it, the families at the end of the trial had an opportunity to come forward. And what the families did was they said, this is how you hurt me. This is what you did. This is what you took from me. Because he did. They had that opportunity. And I remember watching and seeing clips of this, there was a daughter of a 71-year-old woman. And this one stood out, man. A daughter of Ethel Lance, who was there and who lost her life that day. The daughter, she shows up and she says this. She says these words. She says, you took something very precious from me, but I forgive you. It hurts me. You hurt a lot of people, but may God forgive you. May God forgive you. Difficult for me to even wrap my brain around why she chose forgiveness, because why? Why did he deserve it? Why did she do that? I have to reflect back on Christ Jesus because he forgave, because he was not going to be held hostage to the bitterness of that wrongdoing. So here's three things for you, okay? So bitterness does this. One, bitterness causes the heart to seek revenge, whether it's directly or whether it's passively. And then bitterness also ends up putting you in a circumstance where you're having these imaginary conversations in your head. I think we've had disagreements with a friend or spouse or a coworker or whoever, random person. And you have this disagreement and you're like, oh my gosh, this person is an idiot. And you go back and you start thinking, you're like, what if I say this? All right, I'm going to go back and, all right, I'm going to say this. And if they say this, I'm going to come back and say this. And they can't say this if I say this, right? We have these imaginary conversations in our head. I think we've all done that before. It's a way that we protect our hearts, right? We naturally want to protect. And so what it does, though, when we rehearse those things, we're experiencing bitterness. We're held hostage to that bitterness. And I ask you this. I ask you to ask yourself this. Does my response magnify my forgiving Father? Who is most magnified in this? And here's another one, is bitterness can give you a vengeful spirit. Bitterness can actually make you have a desire to take pleasure in seeing other people fail. And don't get me wrong, here's an example, right? Here, this one's just kind of jokey, right? So I'm a Clemson fan. I love it when the Gamecocks lose. I love it, man. It's great, right? My wife is rolling her eyes at me right now, I'm sure, because she's a Gamecock fan, right? But I have to keep the peace in the house. I have to do that. But I will say this. I will say this on a different level. It gives you a vengeful spirit. You want to see them fail, but also it gives you an envious spirit when you see people succeed. Those who you claim as your enemies, who have done wrongdoings to you. And so I'll tell you this, when you forgive, you allow the Lord to remove those shackles of forgiveness and you can walk in freedom. Which is our second point. Forgiveness frees you from bitterness. So when you're walking in forgiveness, you walk with a testimony of God's forgiveness. And you can see just clear evidence when someone's walking in forgiveness, right? I can see somebody that has a clear relationship with Jesus. I can see a difference in them. And so if someone is walking in forgiveness, I can see something different about them. They stand out. It's like, why would they do that? What's different about them, right? So I'm going to give you a little bit of research, right? Because we want to put a little bit of science to this, right? So there's some research that says that religion plays a significant part in our moral grounding for forgiveness. There's a lot more to this, but I'm going to give you four different things that maybe you are experiencing that forgiveness can help you with, okay? So those who walk in forgiveness have clearly been shown to, one, lower levels of anxiety and depression. Let's talk about our mental health here. The second one is a decrease in hostility and anger issues, so we're talking about our emotions. The third one is a lower heart rate and more comfortable breathing. Like, whoa, okay, now we're getting to the physical piece, okay? And then a higher self-esteem. And I'm sure there's a lot more to it. If you have more science behind this, feel free to tell me what it is. But man, I'm telling you, the science behind it is so true. The data is compelling, and it's not just compelling for forgiveness of other people, but also of yourself. The benefits are grounded that God seeks to heal and restore us as sinners. And when Jesus spoke and he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do, the empathy that Jesus was showing was a testimony of a God who seeks to restore. He cries out and he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Some of the last words he said. And the earth ends up shaking in a violent earthquake. And the veil is torn to signify that there is no longer a separation between God and his people for those who trust in the forgiveness of Jesus. But I want to go to an encounter that somebody had, an encounter with Jesus that you would have thought was a lost cause. In Matthew and Luke and Mark, they all have these identical, very close identical accounts of a Roman centurion who experienced the death of Jesus firsthand. And so I'm going to read two different excerpts. Mark and Matthew are very similar, so I'm going to read Luke and Mark. We're going to see the reaction of the centurion man, who most likely was polytheistic, who believed in multiple gods. He probably heard about Jesus and thought this was ridiculous, but he's witnessing the death of Jesus, and so he sees the forgiveness of Jesus. And in 23:47 of Luke, it says, the centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, surely this was a righteous man. And in Mark 15:39, which is similar into Matthew, it says, and when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Whew. Talk about a transformation. Talk about a change of heart. Because after observing Jesus being mocked, taunted at, and we don't know if he did it, we don't know if he didn't do it, but what we do know is he had some type of encounter. When he watched Jesus' clothes being gambled over and him being tortured to death, he had an encounter. Something dawned on him because he acknowledged Jesus as the Son of God and praised God, the one true God. Jesus, the forgiveness of Jesus is a testimony of God and his goodness and his grace. Through Christ's example of forgiveness, we are to forgive because we are living testimonies of that grace. It's commanded to us. Now let's go back to this hurt debt right here, okay? So But we have this thing, it's heavy, you can hear the bricks in it, right? And it could be more than that, and maybe you can't even move. Maybe it's so heavy that you can't move, you don't know where to go to receive the help. Say this. This debt that you've carried for years and decades, and such a long time, remember how we said that we can see the evidence of someone walking in the spirit of forgiveness? Well, when we recognize this hurt debt, we can make a choice. We can make a choice that we will no longer bear the weight of these debts. These debts can be taken as something that builds our testimony of God's forgiveness so that others can see, even though we are experiencing trials and sufferings, they can see and profess. They can say, surely this is a child of God. They can say that. Which is our third point, which is when you forgive, others can witness the evidence of your testimony. When you release your hurt debt, which is through forgiveness, you no longer hold the weight of your burden. You know, your obedience is to please the Lord, and only God can release this bitterness from you, okay? God can only take this away from you. Your own doings cannot do that. It's impossible. Trust me, I've tried. But in the end, what you can do is you can show the world that your hope and comfort comes from the Prince of Peace, the one that provides all the comfort, who died and rose again. His death and resurrection are atonement for our sins and these wrongdoings that this whoever did to you. And you can walk in the freedom of forgiveness, and you will no longer be bound by bitterness. You can walk in forgiveness because you walk with the one who died for that. He died for reparation of your sins and all those wrongdoings. And so you can walk freely without the burden of your pain. And so what I want to do with you today, please, please, please help me with this, please. Just us as the church. I want to give you the opportunity to respond. This is not an opportunity to make anything awkward. We're not going to do that. That's not what we do here. What I want to do is I want to open this up to you. I want you to reflect. I want you to open up the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to give you an encounter that you've never experienced. Forgiveness. So today we have the altar open for you. We're going to have a last song, and maybe you're seeking the Lord for comfort. Maybe you're seeking for discernment for maybe a debt that has occurred against you. You're holding something against somebody right now. Maybe this can be your moment to release this debt through the one who paid it all through his death. Maybe there's forgiveness that you need to repent to God for. Or maybe you need to ask forgiveness from someone. Whew, I know. Maybe you're holding some type of burden or responsibility of guilt on yourself, and you can release that to the most forgiving Father. May he be most magnified by our responses. The altar's open. The crosses are open for you here. You've never experienced that. That's a great opportunity for you to reflect and pray to the Lord. Reflect on the circumstance of forgiveness and anything that's pressing on you, and God can lift that weight from you. And if you feel compelled, we have communion that you can partake in is here for you. And I know a lot of you probably want to get a little bit of a head start to get your kids from CSM and see kids, and I get it. I totally get it. Like, the lines get long sometimes, and I know we make systems to make sure, one, your kids are safe, but also I get sometimes there's a little bit of a line, right? We're always actively working on that. I get it. But I ask of you, please, 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 stay here in this moment. Us as a church, let's stay with one another. Let's support one another, because I know there has to be some heaviness that's affecting someone. I just know it. It has to be. So let's stay here for this last song. I promise we're getting you out a little bit early. Earlier than Dustin, I promise. So we're doing pretty good. But if you feel compelled to respond, I just pray that you do. We're here. So as a church, let's worship together our great King. Let's go to prayer for the Lord. Father, we are so thankful for your Son. We're thankful for how that is an example for our forgiveness. Father, we submit this to you right now, Father. And I just pray, if anyone here is holding anything, any type of burden, whether it's on themselves or someone else, Father, that they submit that to you, Lord, the one that can only take that and give that forgiveness. Father, we ask that you make it clear to us how we respond. We support one another as the church. Father, and we forgive. We don't hold this bitterness on ourselves. We are a walking, living testimony of the King, the one who heals us and the one that brings restoration to our world. So, Father, we thank you. We lift this up and we give this to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.